thank you, Brother John, Miss Jean, Miss Susan. Thank you for being here tonight. If you will, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. And we are going to start in verse 11. And we'll go to verse, I told you 21, but let's go to verse 20 tonight. Verse 11, and we'll go to verse 20 tonight. The wise King Solomon said, "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." Now, I would take Mineola, Texas over any big city in our United States of America today. And the reason being is because of the morals and values, because of the strength of the churches. And I would say this, when you think about the blessing of the upright. The upright is not you and me who stand upright, that are vertical, so to speak, and not horizontal, but the upright are the ones that are rightly walking with the Lord. And so, as we see in our city in the past, or our town, as we might say, we have seen some challenges. And one of the challenges that I recall very vividly, and I know people were torn on this situation, because there was so many sides to each story, and then there was the truth. And sometimes the truth is hard to find. And so in this, we saw a tragic shooting at a convenience store in our town. And in that process, in the climate of our nation, there was racial unrest in cities all throughout the United States of America. And in this small town of Mineola, Texas, due to the racial climate, due to the happenings of what happened surrounding that incident at the Easy Mart in Mineola, we could have easily become on the 6 o'clock news, much like Ferguson, Missouri was at that same time period, overtaken by rioters, overtaken by gangs, overtaken by the infancy of Black Lives Matter, of taking over our streets and causing a protest, causing turmoil, causing looting, causing things that we have would have never thought of. But I admire, and I know everybody has their own opinion, but I admire St. Paul Baptist Church's pastor, Demetrius Boyd, for calling in the African-American community and saying, "We will not resort to violence." And you say, "Michael, you know that to be true?" I know that to be absolutely true. He brought in gang members from the Crips. He brought in gang members from the Bloods. He brought in all these people that could have scourged our town. And when I talk about scourge, they could have scourged it. And he called them in and he said, "We will not resort to violence." And because of his uprightness, because he has been blessed by God, I believe in that time period that our city was exalted. I believe that it was under the hand of the protection of the mighty God that we serve here tonight. I believe that with all my heart. Because when you looked on the news in Oakland, California, when you looked in Ferguson, St. Louis, Missouri, when you looked all across the nation of that racial rioting that was going on during that time period, still going on today, that could have easily fixated itself right here in Mineola. I remember those days. I was scared. You might have been scared because you probably had friends on both sides of the situation. And when you talk to people on both sides of the situation, you had to discern not by picking a side, but just saying, "Lord, may your peace dwell in our city." And praise God, I believe that with all my heart. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. That's why it's so important that we constantly give reminders to the people in our town that we are praying for them, That's why New Hope Baptist Church does a first responder service for the people in our community that serve and protect. We want to honor them. And it is so important that we see that the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. I also remember in that time period where this same pastor took a bold stance against City Hall when they said, "We want to bring alcohol to Mineola." And he took a very bold stance. And it cost him friends. And it cost him maybe parishioners in his church. But we know what happened. We know that alcohol came. And we also see the problems that come with it. And we see the dregs of society. Some of you don't get past dark. So let me explain this to you. Drive down Highway 80 and just drive into Mineola at night and make a couple of loops. Go into some neighborhoods 20 years ago were fantastic neighborhoods in this town. And now they become slums. Why? Because of the dregs of society have come in, and when they come in, they bring that atmosphere with them. You and I, as the upright of God, by the blessing of the upright, the city is to be exalted. We need to be a people that exalts our city. Solomon, of course, was talking here about Jerusalem, but we see this application to us today. What do we see here as well? But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. One of the commentators that I was reading is that the mouth of the wicked does a couple of things. Number one, the mouth of the wicked continually lies. Continually lies. You may see this in politics in our small town. My aunt told me something, and I don't know if I believe it or not, but she looked at me and she said, "It's true." And I was, "Okay, I guess I believe it." But I tell you, there is some crooked politics in our towns and in our counties. Why? Because wicked people have been inserted into prominent positions. They lie. Not only do they lie, but there is perjuring that goes on, this commentator said, in the city that is exalted, the city, the town square, perjury that is going on. It sickens my stomach to hear stories of how corrupt it is in Wood County at the county courthouse, especially with people in custody cases. And when the lawyers have their pocketbook in the judge's back pocket, folks, to me, that's wrong. That's wrong, and they'll answer for that one of these days. So you and I need to be educated. We need to be informed voters when we go out to vote. And it's not just because of our personal preferences of who we like and who we don't like. We need to be educated on these topics. Not only is the mouth of the wicked a liar and a perjurer, the mouth of the wicked is evil when they talk. Evil when they talk. Listen, I don't know if you keep up with American politics. Chicago, Illinois is in a disaster state. President Trump said that Kabul, Afghanistan is safer than the streets of Chicago. Now, that may be a little hyperbole there. I don't know, but I know this. The murder rate in Chicago is worse than any other city in the United States of America. And they have a lesbian mayor. Lightfoot is her name. And she has basically run the city into the ground. And in by doing so, what have we seen in her press conferences? Well, number one, we know that she's a liar. Number two, we know that she's a perjurer. She lies under oath. And number three, what do we know about her? We know that she is evil when she talks. For anybody to promote the things that she promotes, she is a spawn of Satan. And so in this thing, the mouth of the evil, they're evil talking, they're swearing, they're cursing, and what they do is the city is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Folks, if we ever want Mineola, Texas to stay like we got it, we got to stand up to the wicked. When they come in and force some of these things that they're trying to force, you and I need to stand up. We need to stand up for what's right. And when people get mad at you or they say, "Man, you're a You're a right-wing conservative nut. Wear that badge proudly. Wear that badge proudly, because there are things that you and I need to stand for, and then there are things that you and I need to say, okay, we can be silent on that. We can step away from that. But the bottom line is, if we want to preserve the integrity, the character, the moral fiber of Mineola, Texas, of Wood County, Texas, you and I as Christians need to stand up for the right thing. And that's what Solomon's getting the point across here. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Verse 12. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. That's interesting, isn't it? He who is devoid, that means that he doesn't have any wisdom, despises, the Hebrew word means belittle. He who is devoid of wisdom, he who is without wisdom, basically belittles his neighbor. Well, who is our neighbor? Well, you and all of us are neighbors, okay? And so when we look at this tonight, this person that is devoid of wisdom, they belittle their neighbor in three different ways. The first thing that they do is they start off in complaints about minor issues. Am I hitting home tonight? In the church, there are so many times people that are devoid of wisdom really get caught up in the minors instead of focusing on the majors. And I would assure you tonight that when you are led by godly wisdom, the minor issues become minor. And I'm talking way minor. And the majors become at the forefront, because you don't have time to worry about what's going on with the minors. And so we get this, people belittling their neighbor by starting issues with the minor things in life. And then the second thing it boils down to is what? It goes to gossip and slander. Gossip and slander. And let's just be honest with one another. If we stopped the service right now and called an altar call, and said, every one of us in here guilty of gossip and slander, get to this altar right now. This altar better be full. Because all of us have a tendency to talk about others. And as we have a tendency to talk about others, it can slide to slander. I had somebody tell me something in this church about somebody else in this church. And they said, well, this is the truth. And I said, no, it's not. It's not true. You don't know what you're saying. And when people just hear things and they conceive these notions in their mind, they are devoid of wisdom, because they have put all their eggs in one basket, and that basket, the bottom's falling out. And so they despise their neighbor, they belittle their neighbor by gossiping and slandering about them and talking bad about them, when they don't know the truth at all. You want to know how you know the truth about somebody? You go to them face to face and ask them. And if it has nothing to do with you, you just need to keep your mouth shut. And people don't like to hear that from the pulpit, but it's the truth. If it has no pertaining to you, you just need to mind your own business. The Bible tells us that. In 2 Thessalonians, mind your own business and eat your own bread and work with your own hands and don't get involved in everybody else's affairs. And that's what we're called to do. People that are devoid of wisdom, they're like a dog running after a school bus. They belittle their neighbor. Not only do they slander and gossip, but the third thing they do is that they cause major friction. Major friction. I think people, well, I know this. I know that there are some people that thrive on friction. They enjoy it. They enjoy conflict. They enjoy the battle with somebody else. They enjoy it. They do not like peace. They do not like one accord. They always like to have something stirred up instead of being in one accord in the body of Christ. And that is a person that is devoid of wisdom, because they belittle their neighbor. They belittle their neighbor. But listen to this, what Solomon says in this compare-contrast proverb. A man of understanding holds peace. A man of understanding holds peace. A man of understanding, a man that has been taught by who? Taught by the Holy Spirit, holds peace. Shalom. holds peace. And when we look at this today, one commentator said this, a man of understanding never looks for trouble. That's number one. A man of understanding never looks for trouble. So if you're here tonight looking for a fight, well, trust me, you can fight over just about anything. But you know what? I don't come in looking for a fight. I don't come in looking for a change in the foyer that didn't like my personal style. I don't come in looking to see if my chair has been moved, because guess what? I don't have one. I don't come in looking to start fights over minor issues. People that have peace, they come in and they don't look for trouble. The second thing about a man or a woman of peace is this. They always try to find, when a situation is brought to them, the best solution for everyone. And it can't always be, in that perfect world that we're taught in public education, a win-win, but you always try to hear both sides of the story so that you can have peace among the brethren in the body. You can have peace among the family at home. You can have peace at your workplace. You have to hear both sides of the story. A man of understanding holds peace. And then last but not least, and I said this already, a man of understanding holds peace when they're silent on various matters. When they're silent on various matters. You know, sometimes it's better to just keep your mouth shut than say anything. Just be quiet. Don't say anything. Because that man is a man of peace. There has been people say things to me that's been rude. It's been crude. Oh, there's been people say things to me, and sometimes I would get in my heart. Have you ever done that when somebody's publicly or personally attacked you, and you get that rage inside of you? Yeah. Am I the only one human here tonight? And it gets inside of you, and you're ready to lash out. Man, I've had to pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord, just give me peace. And He gives it to you. And in those situations, you don't say nothing at all. And that man of understanding holds his peace. I tell you what, Proverbs teaches me a lot. I hope it does you as well. Man of understanding holds peace. Look at verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Wow. This is good stuff here. A talebearer reveals secrets. Now let's talk about this talebearer. This talebearer in the Hebrew means somebody that is maliciously spreading gossip. Maliciously. So if that person has heard something about you or made something up about you, and they maliciously go out with the thought of in mind to deliberately hurt you, this is what this talebearer involves. They reveal secrets. Okay? You know this, and I know this. There are people in our church that I could tell anything to, and it would never go anywhere. But there are certain people that if I tell something to in this church, it goes everywhere. And so a talebearer reveals secrets, and we have to talk about something tonight. And Brother Thomas and Brother John and other pastors in here have been trained on this about pastor, parishioner, member, confidentiality. Okay? Now let's talk about this for just a second. There's a lot of people that come to visit with me, and that is great. I love that. I enjoy that. And the number one thing that people come to visit me about is usually prayer. They want prayer for a various situation in their life, various family member, various struggle that they're going through, whatever it may be, just prayer. And that's something that I really, man, it is a calling. It is a high calling to be able to pray with a brother and sister in Christ. The second thing that they come to you for was they have something that they just need to get off their chest. Pastor, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm struggling with A, B, C, D, whatever it may be. And man, I tell you, in the pastorate, you hear a lot of things and stories that will just break your heart. And as it breaks your heart, you listen with a concerned ear. You listen with a concerned heart. You care for them. You pray for them. You try to be an accountability partner with them and walk through this valley that they're going through. And you walk with them and hold them accountable through these times and be there for them. And then this is something that I hope when I retire from education, I can go maybe possibly get this degree. A lot of people come and they ask for prayer, and then they just want to get a burden off their chest, and then they'll come and they'll share something where they need help. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have a degree in counseling. So when people have, and listen to me, folks, everybody struggles, and everybody has problems. And there's a lot of times you say, well, that just didn't help me. That prayer didn't help me. It is helping you. There's a lot of times you say, well, man, I've had people tell me, Michael, thank you just for listening to me. I feel so much better now. But that problem, the under root of that problem, is still there. So there needs to be some counseling guidelines given that are objectives that are stated for people to be able to go and apply them to their lives. Any counselor is going to give some objectives that are going to be stated, and they're going to be goals for that person to work on. I wish I had that gift. I pray one day that maybe the Lord will allow me to be able to go into Christian counseling and be able to get that degree so I can have some confidence in ministering to people with these kind of problems. But when people tell you stuff about their lives, pastors, deacons, blameless women and men of the church, when you have a trusted friend, brother and sister in Christ, come to you and share something with you in secrecy, it needs to remain secret. It don't need to be broadcast all over the world. It don't need to be, Jim doesn't need to be called for it to be put out on the prayer chain. But I will tell you this, there is a situation in pastors' confidentiality in which you must report. In which you must report. I was doing a youth revival here back in 2012. Joe Wayne Reynolds was leading the music. We had a guest preacher that night. It was a back-to-school bash. We had a load of kids back there. And at the end of the service, this little girl, well, she wasn't little, 16 years old, she come up, and the first thing that she said, she was bawling. I knew she had something going on in her life. My prayer was is that the Lord was saving her soul. But what had happened is that she said she had been sexually assaulted by her uncle. In that case, I prayed. I counseled the best I could. I helped her the best I could to walk her into the pathway of safety. And the next thing I had to do was to go over to the kitchen and call Mineola Police Department. They came out. They took her into custody. Not into custody, but they took her, questioned her, got her into a safe place, and got the situation under control. Anytime it becomes a situation where the law has been broken or the safety of a person is at stake, then we must intervene. I had another kid in a youth revival very clearly said, I am going to kill myself. It was not just a prayer. It was not just counseling. It was not just sitting there and saying, okay, here's the steps we need to look at. Immediately, we call for professional help. Does everybody understand that? So when you see a talebearer reveals secrets, there is a line that can be crossed. And when it is crossed, the pastor, the music minister, the youth pastor, deacons, whoever it may be, we are liable for the safety of the congregants. So when we look at this tonight, the talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is faithful. Listen to this. How many of you have a friend tonight? Amen? How many? I hope you do have a friend. How many of you have a friend tonight that you can say, that is a true friend? That is somebody that I could tell anything to, and they wouldn't tell anybody because they are my friend. Thank you guys that are shaking your heads. I'm glad you have those people in your lives. He says this. He says, he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Conceals a matter. You and I need people like that in our lives. You can just talk to it. I got two guys. I can just be myself around. I don't have to be fake. I don't have to be all smiling all the time. I can just be myself. You need friends in your life that you can just be real around, that you can be yourself around, that you don't have to put on a front. You need those people in your life that you could tell anything, and he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. My prayer tonight is that you have those type of friends. My prayer tonight is that those friends are right here in this church, because that strengthens the body of Christ when you have people that you trust in the body of Christ. Look at verse 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Where there is no counsel, that word means guidance. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. It's like the word there in the Hebrew means like steering a ship. Where there is no guidance, where there is no guidance, the people steer off into the abyss. Where there is no leadership, the place just goes berserk. Okay? You that have worked in public school systems know that where there is no leadership and the place is going berserk, you know what the problem is. People in churches where there is no leadership and the place is just going off the rails, there's a problem. So what do we do here? He says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The multitude of counselors, there is safety. A good decision is not made by one. It is made by a multitude. I used to love it at school. A teacher would come into my office fuming. I mean, madder than an old wet hen, right? Y'all ever heard that before? And they would come in there just ranting and railing and going wild and wanting me to do something right then and handle this problem right then. If I deemed it an emergency, done. No questions asked. But always remember this. There are two sides to every story. And so in a multitude of counselors, I would get people at a round table and we would talk about how to handle certain situations. And you say, oh my goodness, what a joke. I'm telling you, when you make a decision based on your emotion, you usually make the wrong decision. And I had people, my first couple of years as a principal, would come in there and they'd get me all riled up and I'd get so emotional. I would go out there and I would just dig a hole for myself with parents. I'd dig a hole with myself for students. I'd make so many stupid blunders by not taking a step back and consulting the office staff. The office staff. And I loved it because I had one lady would come in there, what are you going to do? Well, what are you going to do? Let's do it. Let's go. And I'm like, no, we're going to be patient. And boy, that would just drive her crazy. Multitude of counselors. We have two sides in the church right now. We have a gung-ho group. Let's build a Taj Mahal. And then we have the other group that says, build what? We don't need anything. So what do we say here? We need a multitude of counselors to come together on this building utilization committee team to go through and process things so that a logical proposition is brought before the body of Christ Because in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is safety. You would not want me making decisions on a building. That would be dangerous. You would not want me making decisions on finances. That would be detrimental to the church's health. You do not want me making decisions on various things. That is why it's best that I'm out of it. What needs to happen is where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I know people get mad about congregational rule in a Baptist church, but praise God, everybody has a vote as a member. And where is the work done? The work is done in the committees. And in the committees, they are brought before the body of Christ. And then the body of Christ can hear from the committees what work needs to be done in the local church. Then you can say yay, or you can say nay. But there needs to be a multitude of counselors, because that's where you find safety. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. When you have a dictator running everything, the people suffer. When you have somebody that tries to just run the show by themselves and not involve other people, they fall flat on their face. Verse 15, he who is a surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. We go back to Proverbs 6:1, and that basically means talking about giving yourself as a, my son, if you become a surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself, plead with your friend, and get away from that surety. That surety was a loan. In Solomon's day, a cosigner could lose all that he had and be forced into slavery if he and the borrower were unable to pay back the loan. There is nothing wrong with being generous, but Solomon warns against entering into agreements that cannot be kept. I told you my story back on that, of my friend always wanting me to go down to the bank and co-sign with him for a pickup. Absolutely not. I was told by my mom and dad, whatever you do, don't do that. Where did they get that advice? They got it from the Word of God. Don't be a surety. Don't be a co-signer. Don't get yourself into debt for a stranger, because you will suffer. The one who hates being a loner, the one who hates being a co-signer, is secure. Is secure. Heavy debt will do what? It will crush you. It will crush you. Verse 16. This proverb of Solomon is so awesome. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. A gracious woman retains honor. Gracious in the Hebrew means a kind-hearted woman. There's nothing better than a kind-hearted woman. They're so pleasant, so nice to be around. And a gracious woman, a kind-hearted woman, I've got my notes here and I better not say it, the opposite of that. A gracious woman retains honor. A woman of grace, a woman that is kind-hearted, she is honored among the people. She's honored among the people. Not somebody that's a griper, complainer. Somebody that's always nitpicking and nagging. Guys, just bear with me. We're going to get to that point where Solomon says it's better to dwell on a rooftop than to live with a contentious woman. We're going to get to that. But ladies, alas, we have some verses for you too, so don't worry. But when we look at this here, we need to understand that a gracious woman, a kind-hearted woman, a woman of kindness, she retains honor. But Solomon says, ruthless men retain riches. What's he mean? Ruthless in the Hebrew means one who strikes terror in the hearts of others. What was that guy's name in Mexico that was the drug cartel? El Chapo, whatever. Those guys, they strike terror in the people that know them. The drug cartel that's on our border, the Texas Rangers, I'm not talking about the pro ball team, I'm talking about the Texas Rangers. They came down and did a school shooting simulation at Alba Golden, and our principal team took them to lunch. And when we ate, they said that the border down between Mexico and Texas, he said it's just like the Old West. He said you wouldn't believe the ranchers down there, they put out food and they put out groceries for the people that are coming across, the drug cartels that are human trafficking the people over here. They put that out so that they'll leave them alone. They won't come in and overtake their property, overtake their house. Folks, it's wild down there. And what you see on the news, oh, everything's just hunky-dory. And old Governor Abbott saying, hey, wait a minute, we've got a problem that's not being addressed by the federal government. We're going to have to put it in the own hands of Texans and do something about this because it is a major, major problem. We have a ruthless people that's coming across that border, and they are striking fear in the hearts of the people down there at that border. And then they get up here and they're striking fear in the hearts of people. The drug cartel. These are ruthless men that retain riches. They may have the riches here on earth, but their destiny is hell. And they will burn forever and ever and ever. Ruthless men may get rich, but to have honor is way more important than riches. Remember that. Verse 17. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. When you show mercy, and mercy is the same, it's got the same connotation as gracious. When you show kind, loyal love, it does good for your own soul. Why? Because when you're kind to somebody, guess what? 9 times out of 10, they're going to be kind to you back. When you show loyalty to somebody, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be loyal to you. If you show love to somebody, they're going to show that love back. The merciful man does good for his own soul. I don't know about you, but I love when people are kind to me. I love when people are loyal to me. I love when people love me. The merciful man does good for his own soul. But he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Well, what does that mean? It simply means this. The one is that cruel means inhumane. It means callous. It means harsh. He who is cruel troubles his own flesh. What you do to somebody else will come back and bite you in the end. People that are inhumane to other human beings, that same type of love, that same type of kindness, that same type of grace will be shown to you. When people are calloused towards other people, that same type of callousness that you show towards others of not caring, could care less, that's going to be shown to you. That word, when it says, he who is harsh troubles his own flesh. If you're harsh to somebody, I can promise you this, sooner or later, somebody's going to be harsh to you. And you know who it usually ends up being? God. God will cut down sinners. Over and over again, we see this in the Word. Taught and preached. Right here. Verse 18. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. The wicked man does deceptive work. The Hebrew word is sekar. It simply means this. It is a deceptive work in the fact that it is not something that is plausible by man. It's not something that is looked upon and deemed worthy by you and I, especially by God. When we look at this word, we see that the wicked man, you think about the mob, you think about the drug cartel, you think about the illegal crimes that are committed day in and day out. The wicked man does this kind of work. And what will their reward be? Their reward will be, if they do not repent and turn from their ways, an eternal damnation in hell. Bottom line. I used to, as a kid, the glorification of the mobsters. You know, everybody liked the Untouchables with Al Capone, and everybody liked this. Everybody liked, I'm telling you what, folks. Our media has sensationalized, and Hollywood has sensationalized these guys. The Irishman with Al Pacino, I believe it was, got movie of the year a couple of years ago, and he portrayed this real-life mobster from Boston, Massachusetts, and they portray him. And these limelights that they're heroes, these guys will split hell wide open. Wide open. Mob, the cartel, the illegal crimes that are being committed, their reward is hell. But praise God tonight, you that are Christian, he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. Sure reward. This reward is from God. The deceptive work may give them money, it may give them fame, it may give them a limelight of success, so to speak, in this world. But folks, let me tell you, this world is fleeting. Eternity is forever. And you can't put a price on the intangibles of character and salvation from our God above. I challenge you tonight, he who sows righteousness will have that sure reward. Verse 19, as righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues to his own death. To his own death. Let's talk about that. As righteousness leads to life, we've seen this frequent theme throughout the Proverbs. How do you and I become righteous? Well, it's not by anything that we do. Say it a little louder, Miss Nelda. Amen. Through Jesus, through salvation. Amen. That's how you and I become righteous. John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to God except through me. That's the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The only way that you and I can ever be deemed righteous is through the blood of Jesus Christ. As righteousness leads to life, do you have eternal life tonight? Let me tell you, I do. It's not because I'm Michael Myers. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's not because I'm a former principal. It's not because of anything of who I am. It's because of who my Lord Jesus is. That's why I have eternal life. I hope you do too. But he who pursues evil, he who chases after evil. Now this is what we need to look at, guys. People that are truly saved will not keep going to the pig pen. People that are truly saved will pursue life. And they will pursue it abundantly. Not because of who they are, but because of who Christ is. But the evil pursue after their own lust. And so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Amen. Amen. Verse 20. Well, I tell you what, that just thrills my soul. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. Those who are of a perverse heart. Well, let's talk about that word for just a second. It means crooked, means distorted. Those who are of a distorted heart, a crooked heart, are an abomination to the Lord. He abhors them. He hates them. What is this perverse heart? It is words. It is behaviors that are crooked, that are distorted, and they usually deal with sexual lust. Sexual lust. The perverted heart. The perverted heart. Man, these sex crimes are skyrocketing, aren't they? The trafficking of our children is scary, isn't it? I went into Atwoods with the Macy and Abby over there in North Tyler. And you're like, you crazy maniac, why'd you stop over there? Well, we just want to go in and see what's going on. Look at the baby chickens. Look at the little ducks. And we were the only people there of a certain color. And as we walked around Atwoods, you know, how you doing? A man followed us. And he followed us and followed us, and I gathered up my two little ones like a daddy rooster. And I got them beside me, and we went up to the guns. And then when we went to the guns, that guy kind of just disappeared. But folks, I'm telling you, this world that we live in is a dangerous world. And these psychos out here in our community prey on our children. This week, they know Vacation Bible School is going on. This week, these wolves will be circling the camp. Why? Because they are perverse in their heart. And let me tell you about the Lord. He abhors them. He abhors them. But you and I, we're called to be blameless. And the blameless in their ways, praise God, blameless, we talked about this, it means without blemish in your moral life. It means that you're whole in who you say that you are. It means that you're truthful, that the blameless in their ways are His delight. His delight. He delights in the ways of the blameless. So what does He tell us as His disciples? He tells us when we go out into that world that we are to be as wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And what does He do? He gives us His Holy Spirit for discernment in each and every encounter we come across. And my prayer today is that you put on the full armor of God when you go out there, because Satan and his demons are coming after you and I full throttle. But aren't you thankful tonight, our shield of faith? Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? It equips us. And it equips us for what? It equips us for life. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word tonight. Lord, I thank You for the conviction that it's given me on certain situations in my life. Lord, that You have, Lord, opened my eyes up. You have opened my ears up. And Lord, most importantly, You've opened my heart up to be receptive to Your Word, receptive to Your teaching. Lord, I just pray for our church. Lord, that as we look at these Proverbs tonight, we hold them close to our heart. Lord, we think about the character that You called us to. We thank You for the blamelessness. We thank You for the righteousness that You called us to, not because of who we are, but because of who You are. And Lord, tonight, my prayer is, as we look at these Proverbs, Lord, we can make them applicable in our life. Lord, I pray tonight for a hedge of protection around this church. I pray for a hedge of protection around these little kids that are coming tomorrow. Lord, I pray that You bless them. Lord, I pray that You equip the workers, Lord, with the words to say and with the hearts to love and to show mercy. Lord, just be with us this week. And may it be a week of blessing. May it be a week of rejoicing. May it be a week that brings You all the honor and glory that You deserve. We love You and we praise You. And we do this in the name of Jesus Christ.